at www.survive2thrive.net. That's survive, the number two, thrive.net. We hope you'll find the commentary from our hosts interesting and helpful. Steve Quayle will hopefully be back soon. He's on sabbatical right now. Hawk is sitting in for him on Fridays. Hawk is also doing the show on Thursdays. Steve St. Clair, Darren Craddock, and occasional guests on Wednesdays. Nathan Leal on Tuesdays, and Darren on Mondays. These times are hard for many, and being prepared is becoming more and more important. Our hosts want to keep you informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. With health in mind, this show's sponsor, EnerHealth Botanicals, has added over 40 liquid herbal combinations for all of your ills. They are high quality and give real results. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with information, but also with incredibly effective products designed to bring you to optimum health, your natural state. By supporting EnerHealth, you support this network and your own health. With good health, we all fare better in all the roles we play in life. Go to www.survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R, F as in Frank, O-O-D as in dog.com. Many of our listeners are already taking the products that EnerHealth has to offer, and we thank you for that. Their EnerFood product will extend the life of your stored food supplies by one-third, simply by taking one tablespoon a day. When you get the nutrients you need, you tend to eat less, and what is more, it has a two-year shelf life. Also, take a look at their organic cocoa and coffee, as well as their other immune-boosting herbal supplements. There are incredible specials for network listeners, and these are often changing, so be sure to tune in frequently for important information and great prices. We trust that the information our hosts and myself give on this show is truly helpful. We want to help you all to stay healthy and informed, so that you can better serve your family and community today and in these ever-changing times. Thank you for listening.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal, and today is Tuesday, April 12th, 2011, the year of our Lord. For those of you taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. And today, in the fourth month of the year, how many of you are wondering about the battle that we face in this fallen world? It's a battle of truth versus lies. It's a battle of apathy versus vigilance. It's a battle of lucid awareness versus hypnotic sleep. My friends, we are all in a battle. You are in a battle. And many of you know this. The battle to obtain light and truth in the midst of a people who desire lies and pretend. And we have the challenge to desire and obtain the truth about the world's present dilemma. Unfortunately, most people, most world citizens, do not have the same goal. They don't want to know these things. They are kept in their rendered states by several productions of this evil fallen world. The media gives their constant production on things that do not matter. The political leaders of various countries ignore the will of the people. They ignore their responsible obligation to serve their people. And instead, they make themselves the kings and the queens of the people. And here's the amazing part. Most of the people love it. Many of today's spiritual leaders, and I qualify, not all, but many. Many of today's leaders who operate behind the lecterns of megachurches are also contributing to the ever-popular deception of the patty cake gospel. The gospel that portrays all of the people as, I'm okay, you're okay. It's an entertaining production that will attract many listeners, but leave their inner souls unchallenged and unhealed. And my friends, between these three groups, the mainstream media, the political champions, and the spiritual gurus, there's one thing they all have in common, They are all playing a role in the present production of lies and hypnotism. And this hypnotism is keeping many earthlings in a stupor. A stupor that bewitches many people to run to the public trough. A trough full of zombie Kool-Aid. It's a trough that keeps the general public in a trance and occupied with mundane, ridiculous things. My friends, this world has now entered very turbulent times, but still, many people are in dreamland. And here in America, the American dream continues to flow through the veins of its zombie citizens. But unfortunately, the old American dream has expired. The old dream used to be buying a home, paying it off, perhaps starting up a mom and pop business, and building an inheritance for your kids. Well, now America is in a full-blown depression. People are losing their homes and their businesses. But not to worry, because when a person is asleep, they can go from one dream to the next. So the American dream does continue, only it's a little different. But, oh well, at least people in America are still dreaming. Dreaming of having a job with benefits. Or perhaps they're dreaming of being on American Idol and becoming a star, loved by other citizens. Or perhaps, even though we're in a season where we need God's mercy, that's too much trouble. So instead, some people dream of having a skanky-looking celebrity harlot at their birthday party. Hey, Brittany, did you get the invitation?
Nathan, that's not nice. Not everyone is that bad.
That's true. Not everyone is that bad. Or perhaps not everyone is that carnal. Okay, well, how about this? Some people in America have dreams about eating a real meal, the breakfast of champions. Hey, Mr. Butcher, what does that steak taste like? That's going to be the future dream of many. Or actually, it's probably happening already. You think so, folks? Some of you know what I'm talking about. In the past several years, America has been in transition. Transition means change. Change, my friends. I believe that was the campaign promise, but this probably wasn't what most people signed up for. Change you can believe in. But you know what, folks? Since I'm a political atheist, sorry, I don't believe in it. But I'm still watching it happen. America's economy went Fukushima on us. It melted down and spit its economic radiation plume all over us, from California to the New York Island. 44 million citizens on food stamps. 44 million Americans still hearing the lies and the fables that it's going to get better. Just relax and watch Dancing with the Stars. And you see, my friends, in the midst of the present propaganda operation, the campaign of lies, we have those that are trying to be awake, trying to be vigilant, to be watchful, and who are trying to awaken others. I believe there's a good chance that many of you that are listening right now are in that group. You're trying to awaken others. And some of you are even watching them refuse to awaken. And that's frustrating. Folks, we have a very great challenge before us. And in the midst of this challenge, you yourself are trying to keep abreast of the ongoing saga, trying to be informed, to stay vigilant and ahead of the game. And this game is not for fun. It's about enduring and survival. It's about overcoming and nourishment. My friends, this game is for real. And it will have those that endure, and it's also going to have those some will not endure. That's a harsh reality, but it's one that should strike every one of us with determination to keep going. And at times on our journey, we might have a flat tire. At times things will break down. We may even feel overwhelmed, weak, discouraged. At times, we may even have bad days where we do things that we regret. Sometimes we make the wrong choice. And sometimes we may even be overcome. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. My friends, I know there's a good chance with the wide audience that we have listening right now, that there are some that have been overcome. Perhaps it's you. And if you have been overcome, if you have been down, feeling defeated, I want you to know that God loves you and Jesus can strengthen and restore you. I get emails from some people that are feeling hopeless and they want God to restore them, but they feel so far away from God. You know what, folks? God is only as far away as your contrite heart. That means the willingness to say, "Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me get out of this mess. Help me get away from this frustration, this discouragement. Take away this dark cloud of oppression that I have." Folks, I know that it strikes all of us from time to time. And if that's you, my friend, I want you to have hope and know that God is watching. He knows your earnest desire for Him. So again, my friend, He's not that far from you. Jesus finished the task to forgive us, to heal us. He's the remedy, my friends. I just wanted to share that and let you know that God does love you and He's there for you. Today is April the 12th, and yesterday we had the 1 month anniversary of the tsunami in Japan. We also had the 1 month anniversary of the nuclear reactor meltdown challenge that the world is facing right now. There's a lot of things going on, folks, and over the past few weeks, I have been visiting that scenario. We've been talking about what's going on in Japan a lot. And for those of you that wonder why I've been dealing with it so much, well, this is why, folks, because the events that are happening in Japan are going to affect the entire world. They're already affecting the world right now. So that's why I'm talking about it. And on this program, I'm going to share a few updates of what's going on over there, depending on how much time we have. There are other categories of things that I do want to touch on, but we need to talk about them because we need to be prepared for the potential of some very undesirable news that may come from Japan regarding the reactors. Now, last week, I talked about the radiation fallout and some things that we can all do to supplement our immune system. So if you did not listen to that program last week, please do so. Go to WatchmansCry.com. Go to the audio page and go to the Survive to Thrive link. Folks, if you haven't heard it, I really encourage you to do so because I talked about a lot of different nutrition remedies that you need to be thinking about and possibly that you need to be supplementing your diet with. And you need to start doing that now. If you have family, if you have children, you need to be thinking of these things because that radiation is already arriving here in the mainland of the United States. It's crossed the entire United States, and I'm going to share a few more things on where it has been arriving. Now, I know that when the news gets so dark and grim and challenging, it can even become scary and fearful. And my friends, I know that there's a tendency to get overwhelmed, but I want to challenge you to not allow that to happen. I've heard some people say that it's too much. I can't take it. The doom is overwhelming me, and I don't want to listen to it anymore. I just want to go back to sleep. I want to encourage you not to give up, my friends. Now, let's talk about some of the things happening in Japan. I want to talk about the radiation. I want to give a brief update. I want to talk about the economy and the domino effects that we may be seeing from the backlash of the stalemate that Fukushima seems to be throwing at the scientists that are trying to fight this thing. I also want to talk about the world economy, America's economy, and the radiation that's also arriving in America. My friends, again, you need to know these things. Now today, April 12th, again, it's been 1 month since this tsunami hit Japan, and in that time, since then, they have been experiencing many, many hundreds of aftershocks. And some of those aftershocks were strong enough to be called regular earthquakes if they had occurred anywhere else in the world. Just a few days ago, they experienced a 7.1, and then there was one in the sixes. There's been several in the sevens. Japan is continuing to shake and rumble. This catastrophe in Japan, I believe, is going to, at this point in history, be recorded as one of the most devastating blows to a nation. Because as we're watching this thing unfold, folks, we're not finished yet. And there are some scientists that are wondering if another big one is going to happen to Japan. But there's a lot of people trying to clean up. There's people trying to get back to their regular lives, bring things back to normal, but then we have the constant barrage of the radiation. Folks, that's a hard, hard challenge. There's a story that came out just in the last couple of days that said hundreds and hundreds of safes you know, the safes that you put money in are floating out in the ocean, and some of the safes are starting to come back to shore. So the police departments of some Japanese cities are taking those safes because a lot of people are turning them in unopened. Now, that I find amazing, folks. Can you imagine hundreds of safes floating on America's shores? How many Americans would turn them into the police department because they didn't belong to them? I think they have a culture that in some areas is dark to have blemishes, but in other areas, their culture over there in Japan really puts the American culture of greed and looking out for number one to shame. There's also rescue workers that are finding bags full of money. They're finding furniture with money hidden inside of the furniture, and they're turning the money into the police departments. So I just thought that was interesting. They haven't had looting. They haven't had a lot of people that are mistreating one another. So how is it going to play out when an event like that happens here in America? Do you think if there was a tsunami in America and there were safes floating everywhere, or if there was money in furniture, perhaps after a hurricane or a tornado, would people take that money to the police station? Maybe one person here and there, but would hundreds and hundreds of people do it? What do you think, folks? I don't know. It's interesting watching another culture face their worst nightmares and fears and then take inventory here at our culture. But aside from that, I'm not trying to say that Japan's culture is superior to America's in every way, because their culture by its very foundation is not a Christian culture, and America's is. So I don't know, folks. I guess we'll find out when a doom event of that magnitude happens here. Nathan, don't be saying that. I don't want a doom event coming here that's that bad. I don't either, my friends. But those of you that are regular listeners, we're all on the same page as far as knowing what time it is. Most of you know what time it is. And you know that a lot of events are approaching this planet. Japan's having their turn right now, but many, many nations are all going to have their turn. And that includes America. We're going to have our turn, my friends. Massive earth changes are going to happen to this planet. A mighty shaking is going to happen to this planet. I believe that massive earthquakes are still going to arrive in other places around the world. I expect to see volcanoes explode. And it's basically going to be a loud roar of cataclysmic events that are going to happen. These things are coming because God's judging the world, and that's what time it is right now. Right now it's Japan's turn, though. It doesn't look like their turn is finished, because it seems like no matter how hard the Japanese scientists are trying at Fukushima, they are still not able to get control of these reactors. For the past month, it seems like every few days they would make announcements downplaying the severity, downplaying the intensity, downplaying the ramifications, downplaying the damage, downplaying the escape of radiation. They did a lot of downplaying, saying it was relatively stable and safe. Nothing to worry about. Don't panic. Well, now it seems like the news is starting to trickle out, and they can no longer hide the downplaying efforts that they've been doing. They can't lie about it anymore. Those of you that have been watching this event happen for the last several weeks, you've heard that they tried cooling the reactors with seawater, which of course is from the ocean, which has salt in it. And that effort was an effort of last resort. It was their Hail Mary attempt to stop the overheating of the reactor. But possibly on the short term, they did stop it. But in the long term, they did a lot more damage to the reactors, because all of that salt that ended up in the reactors has now dried. The water has boiled off, and it has solidified inside the reactor around the fuel rods, and that's actually working to insulate the fuel rods and make them even hotter. So the end result is that it's not cooling down. And there have been some scientists all around the world that have been examining the situation. They've been looking at the data, and many of them are agreeing and pointing to the same thing, and that is this, that one, possibly three of the reactors have gone into meltdown. They're pretty sure that number two has gone into meltdown and melted through the containment vessel on the bottom. So it's breached the containment, and that molten core is so hot, there are fears that it's going to melt outside the containment and go through concrete, through dirt, and eventually to the water table. Now, if that occurs, there is a danger that the molten fuel rods, when they strike water, will cause a very violent explosion, an explosion of hydrogen and steam. Now, the explosion will not be an atomic or a nuclear explosion, but it will be a very violent explosion, which will then, depending on how strong the explosion is, cause even more damage and throw all the nuclear fuel into the water, into the Pacific, all over the reactor, and possibly even doing damage to the reactors that are located next to it. So the situation is still very volatile. It hasn't exploded yet, but already there are cracks in several of the reactors in different parts of them. There's cracks throughout the facility, leaking radiation, radiated water into the ocean, into the soil, and the readings of radiation that are being reported now are getting higher and higher and higher. So as the days progress, here we are 1 month into this situation. It's not getting better. They don't have it stabilized. And every day that goes by that they're trying to contain this thing is another day that radioactive isotopes are going into the atmosphere and getting caught in the jet stream and making it across the Pacific Ocean over here to America. That's what's going on, folks. It's continuing to float over here. So until they can get this thing contained, that plume is going to continue sending radiation here to America. Now, the thing that's really amazing is that the mainstream media in America, for the most part, has continued to downplay the severity, the dangers, the radiation exposure that's making its way over here. As we watch the mainstream media, it's becoming very apparent that the mainstream media is just another tool of the Ministry of Propaganda, that they're a bunch of hirelings that just do the bidding of the powers that be. And when I watch some of the talking heads continue to say silly and foolish statements, when you see some of those news anchors who are just reading off a teleprompter, insulting those of us that are trying to be vigilant, it really exposes them for what they really are. And that's shills and trolls for the government. Shepard Smith continues to put his foot in his mouth when he mocks efforts to be vigilant against radiation. I see the same thing from the guests that they have. Anderson Cooper will have a conversation with some individual that says, there's nothing there, it's no problem, it's not bad, it's stable. Over and over, I keep hearing parroting and echoing of disbelief. But I guess that's what you get when we live in the village of lies and hypnotic words of make-believe. So are they going to be able to solve this? Is it going to be contained in a week from now? 2 weeks? We can go back to just getting ready with our bug-out bags and planning for the easier things on the list. You know, folks, I know that there are a lot of different scenarios that can play out here in America. On this program, we've talked about many of them. We've talked about economic depression, economic collapse, currency collapse, hyperinflation, social unrest, martial law, police state measures. We've talked about a lot of those things, and many of us have our to-do list. But have you noticed that radiation in the sky was not on the list? Have you noticed that, my friends? I have. It wasn't on my list. So most of us would rather deal with a level of doom that's not as unexpected and not as hard to figure out. Nathan, I don't mind dealing with doom, but I don't like this one. You know what, my friends? I don't either. So, like you, many of us are left wondering, how long is this thing going to last? Are they going to fix it in a week? Well, my friends, here's the hard, cold truth about this matter. It is not going to be fixed in 1 week or 1 month or 2 months. This thing is going to play out for a while. On the scale of nuclear accidents, there's a scale of 1 to 7 that illustrates the severity of a radiation problem at a nuclear facility. When Three Mile Island had their accident years and years ago, for those of you that remember, its level was recorded at a level 5, and that's the highest it got. When Chernobyl had its event in the Soviet Union, it reached a level 7, and that's the highest level on this scale. Well, just yesterday, Japan raised the severity of this disaster to a 7. So yesterday, it officially placed it on par with the Chernobyl event. So that gives us a little bit of a taste of how bad it really is. Now, there have been some people that have been watching this for several weeks that have said it's been at a 7 since its very beginning. And that actually might be true because they just haven't been forthright with the world. They haven't been telling us how bad it really is. So now they're calling it a 7. And there are some specialists in the nuclear industry that also agree that it should be at a 7.
And of course, there are the other industry specialists that disagree. And the ones that disagree are most likely the ones that you will be hearing on Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC saying, well, they raised it to a 7, but I disagree. Well, you know what, folks? Chernobyl was one reactor. Chernobyl was one explosion. After it initially exploded and threw the radiation into the sky, there was no more fission occurring in the fuel rods because they exploded. Well, right now at Fukushima, we have number 2 still going into fission on its own. If we could look inside of the containment core, we would see a molten blob of very, very dangerous radiation waiting to explode. So that's happening right now, and at the same time, they're trying to cool it off, and the water that they're using to cool it off is becoming contaminated, and that's just one reactor. So we have the Japanese scientists trying to cool the reactors with water that comes out radiated. It's poison in the ocean, and this thing is constant. It's continual. So we're not watching a one-event blast of radiation. We're actually watching a continual flow of radiation. And then we have to times that times 4 because they're trying to cool the reactors. So that's several reactors, 3 of them, getting radiated water. And then on top of that, we have the fuel rods that they're trying to cool down. So they're spraying those with water. And as they spray them, the water turns into steam and goes into the atmosphere and floats over here to America. So that's continuing. So I believe that they are correct that this thing is a level 7. It's probably even higher. In fact, there's another scientist that actually says that. They say that on the scale of 1 to 7, this thing's even worse. So how are they going to solve it? Are they going to bury it? Are they going to put sand over it? Are they going to put concrete over it? Well, they haven't really told us what they plan to do. They're coming up with some different ideas. Chernobyl had to put the sarcophagus outer shell around their building. So I guess we'll see if Japan will do this. I don't know, folks. But just a few days ago when they had another aftershock that was in the 7s, it knocked the power out temporarily at the reactor. So the cooling efforts had to stop temporarily. And you know, folks, what's going to happen if another major, major earthquake strikes them once again? They'll be out for the count. If another one comes in, what if another tsunami came in? We are looking at something that we've never, ever faced in this planet's history. So it's going to be very, very interesting how this thing plays out. They're pumping radiation into the ocean, which brings me to another point. And I remember 4 weeks ago when I first talked about this, when we first visited this whole thing occurring, for the first time we talked about radiation arriving in America in the rain, making food unfit for human consumption. Now we're seeing that happen. But on top of that, seafood is now going to be affected because the Pacific Ocean is getting radiation in it at the shores of the Fukushima plant. And here's the part that's going to be very challenging for us, folks, because tuna migrates from Japan all the way to America. There's different types of tuna that do that, but you know, when you go and buy tuna at the store, you ever read the label? Some of it comes from the Philippines. Some of it comes from the Atlantic. Some of it comes from the Pacific. Well, what if some of this tuna gets irradiated? What if it eats some of the smaller, lower-level food chain fish, and then that fish has radiation in it because it's by the Fukushima plant, and then the tuna eats that, and then that tuna makes its way across the Pacific, gets caught, and then gets processed, and then placed in a can of tuna that ends up at the store shelves in Walmart. The FDA is saying that they're checking some of the food that's coming from Japan, but they're not going to be checking tuna if it was harvested near the United States or in another country. So for that reason, my friends, I want to just challenge some of you. If some of you eat different kinds of seafood that are canned, I would encourage you that if you can do it, to go buy a large quantity of canned tuna now while you can. Because if we find out that some tuna is discovered to have radiation, then it's just another item on the shelf that you will not be able to get. And you know, folks, how many food items are going to become out of reach because of this event happening in Japan? I do not know, but I believe that we're just seeing the very, very beginnings of how bad this thing's going to be. So my friends, that's one very concerning thing right there, the food. It's going to affect the food here in America and all over the world. Now, for those people that say it's so minute, why worry about it? Well, I guess that's an individual choice, but I'm not going to be taking that chance. And I don't think that you should be taking that chance either. All right, folks? Well, it looks like
We're reaching the halftime mark. The break is here. So after the break, we're going to continue talking about this challenge in Fukushima, and also we're going to discuss the economy and some of the challenges that we're going to be facing because of this here as well. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
Now, we're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But you know, years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. Give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really that good.
Yeah, she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, April 12th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And before the break, we were talking about the challenges that the scientists at the Fukushima reactor are faced with. They are faced with the continued bad news from attempts to stop the radiation from leaking and their attempts to cool down the reactors. They are continually hitting walls and efforts that fail. You know, folks, as that event continues to deteriorate, it's not just an event that's going to be challenging to the nation of Japan. I believe that that event has the potential to bring down the economy of Japan, at least in the short term, and to also play a role in the unraveling domino effect to destroy the world's economy. I really feel that that could happen. There are so many variables that are in play right now. As long as they cannot get control, it's going to be downhill. And folks, I really do not see how they're going to get control of it. The radiation is continuing to leak. For the nations that are located nearby Japan, they are in danger of getting some of the more harsher radioactive poisoning. It seems that this story has already run its course with most of America because the low attention spans of the outcome-based educated ones here in America, many of those who basically need a comic book to understand any sort of story, the mainstream media said it's okay, so they're not going to worry about it. We've seen this in a lot of different catastrophes over and over. The people quickly grow tired of hearing how bad something is or how bad it was. So let's talk about the radiation that's actually arriving here in America. Last week when we had our program, at that time, Some radiation had made it to the milk in Spokane, Washington, and I believe California and Arizona. Since then, the EPA has found radiation in other cities. Now, as I cite the discoveries that the EPA has made, I find myself feeling cautious about anything that the EPA reports, because I believe that the EPA is going to be minimizing the severity of any discoveries that they make. Now, it's real interesting that the EPA stands for the Environmental Protection Agency, but we all know their track record, don't we, folks? The EPA is the one that gave BP the go-ahead for the core exit in the Gulf, the core exit that is destroying the Gulf of Mexico even right now. So that was the EPA that made it possible. And here we are once again citing their findings. So, folks, I guess what I'm trying to say is I really don't trust them. I don't think that they have our best interests at heart. Now, of course, they have to be reporting this, but they're doing a very sloppy job of it. And last week, you remember that I had mentioned what they had on their homepage at EPA.gov, and it said no radiation of concern has reached the United States of America, and that is still there. So I do not understand how they can say that on their website, but then they can report the findings that are exactly the opposite. Now, the limits that they have officially stated that a human cannot go beyond is 3 picocuries per liter. Well, over the last few days, reports have come out that they have found radiation in another city, Montpelier, Vermont, contained 1.9 picocuries per liter. So that falls under the 3 points limit that they have. But Vermont can be added to the list of states where radiation is now in the milk. So thus far we have the West Coast, we have California, and then we have the Southwest Arizona, we have the Northwest, Spokane, Washington, and now we have the East Coast of Vermont. Now, since then, on Saturday, April the 10th, Little Rock, Arkansas had a positive sample of radiation in its milk. And again, folks, remember, 3 PCs, all right? Picocuries is the limit. Well, in Little Rock, the sample contained 8.9, which makes it 3 times higher than the safe limit that the EPA recommends. That means 300% higher. So those of you in Arkansas, welcome to the Radiation Club. Since then, since the Arkansas sample was published at the EPA's website, another city joined the list, and this is in Hilo, Hawaii. That's in the Big Island of Hawaii. And get this, folks, Hilo, Hawaii had 18. That's 18.0. So now what is that? 6 times higher than the safe level? Now, this is the part that's disturbing, folks. These numbers, even though the EPA says on its front page no radiation of concern has reached, well, now we have radiation that's above their safe limits in several cities of the United States. Is that being told to the residents of these respective localities? For example, in Little Rock, Arkansas, the number came out on Saturday, but the sample was actually obtained on March the 30th. So on April the 10th, the EPA published that it found radiation, but that sample was from March the 30th, which means many other citizens in Arkansas could have gone and consumed that milk already. It's done. So this method is not very responsible, and it's not staying ahead of the game. In the Hilo sample, that milk was collected on the 4th of April, which is 6 days before it was reported. Now, in addition to iodine-131 that gave a result of 18 picocuries, also included in that sample was cesium-137, and that was to the level of 19 picocuries. That's a lot higher also, folks. That's the stuff that has a 30-year half-life. Now, I've noticed that the media tries to downplay the milk story, and they say, well, it only has an 8-day half-life, so not to worry. Well, that might be true, but if 3 is the safe level, but Hawaii has 18 picocuries, that means 8 days later, it's down to 9. So it's not gone in 8 days. And then 8 days later, it goes down to 4.5, which is still above the safe limit. So now we have 16 days of ingesting poisonous, plague-ridden, radiated milk over 2 weeks. And what happens if it's a child drinking all that milk, folks? What if it's an infant? What if it's a pregnant mother? You see, folks, they are not being forthright with the American citizens, letting us know how bad it is. If some of you might be living somewhere and you're saying, well, They haven't found it in my town yet, so I'm not worried about it. Well, let's look across a map of where they have had some positive discoveries. Now, get this, folks. If it's in the water, if it's in the rain and the precipitation, if there's a cow in that area, it's going to eat the grass, it's going to drink the water, and it's going to end up in the milk. And I submit this to you. I do not believe that the EPA is testing every single city in every single state. So by the process of common sense and deductive reasoning, we can figure out that the radiation is going to be on all of the mainland United States of America. Now, already 13 more cities have been added to the list of having radiation in their drinking water. And let me read the list to you real quick. This is in the drinking water. The only way it got in the drinking water was the rain. And if it rained and got into the drinking water, most likely it's going to be in the milk. Now, here are the cities. Oak Ridge, Tennessee, it was collected on March the 28th. It had 0.63 picocuries, so that's not even one, but it still is there. Chattanooga, Tennessee, Helena, Montana, Columbia, Pennsylvania, Cincinnati, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, East Liverpool, Ohio, Painesville, Ohio, Denver, Colorado, Detroit, Michigan, Trenton, New Jersey, Weartown, New Jersey, Muscle Shoals, Alabama. It's also been found in the precipitation in Salt Lake City, Utah, Boston, Montgomery, Alabama, Boise, Idaho. Now, recently, Boise, Idaho had a number of 390 picocuries. I find that very, very interesting because Spokane is not even close to that. So how did it get so high? You know, folks, to be that high, but to not register even close to that in either Spokane, which is 400 miles north, or in Seattle or Tacoma or Portland, how did Boise have it 390? You know, I'm left wondering about something, folks, and I'm going to throw this out. I'm just thinking out loud here. But Hanford dump site, which is located upwind to the northwest of Boise, a few hundred miles, is a dump site for a lot of mustard gas, and they also have a nuclear reactor. And I'm just wondering if, while this radiation is in the air, some other locations where nuclear reactors are found might say to their coworkers, you know, the general public knows it's going to be in the air, and we are building up some quantity of our spent waste. Why don't we release a little bit of it? And I'm wondering if the high numbers from Boise are because of Hanford. Just thinking out loud here, folks. I don't know, but I just find it very suspicious. 390 is off the charts. So based on what I just read, we have from the West Coast, we have in Los Angeles. By the way, radiation was found in Portland, Oregon as well. So now we have it in Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles. And going east, we have it in Spokane, Boise, Phoenix, Utah, Colorado, Montana, Michigan, Ohio, Tennessee, Alabama, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Maine, and Pennsylvania, and Vermont. Now, I didn't mention every single city in this list, but folks, basically, here's the bottom line. The radiation is arriving in America, and what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to get depressed and discouraged that it's over us now? It's invading us? It's going to poison us? Or do we try to have some measures that are wise, that actually can boost our body's immune system and try to take measures into our hands to be very vigilant? Folks, I vote for vigilance. I know that at first hand, there's going to be the tendency to be in denial. Denial because, well, the news said it's not so bad, so I'm not going to worry about it. There's going to be that tendency. There's a tendency to want to just dismiss it because it might seem like a lot of work. I mean, it is a lot of work to buy extra food in advance. And by the way, folks, stop drinking the milk. Get dried milk. If you need to have milk, go to the bulk food store and buy several boxes of it in advance, because I believe that more and more people are going to be finding out that the milk is not good to be drinking. In the next 2 or 3 weeks, we could have a run on dried milk. So right now, while the milk that is dried is in the store, most likely it was processed far enough back so that it didn't come from a contaminated area. So right now is the time to be doing it. You can't be waiting for a month to do it, because by then we could realistically see some radiated milk turn into dried milk. So don't wait. Do it now, my friends. Also, if you eat seafood, whether it's mackerel in a can, salmon in a can, tuna in a can, I want to encourage you also to get those foods now while you can. Folks, we need to be thinking about that now. There's a good chance. Vegetables, the crop that's going to be coming, is going to be radiated, and those of you that also can do this, I encourage you to get either vegetables that are frozen, if you have room in your freezer, or get vegetables in the can, but start doing that. Now, on last week's program, I went into depth about the supplements to purchase, and I talked about different kinds of iodine. I talked about the products that InnerHealth has, the sponsor of this program, the Bladderac, the superfoods that they have, and then I also talked about some other supplements that you can take. Lugol's iodine. I talked about zeolite. So, folks, again, go listen to that program. We need to really, really be paying attention to how serious this thing is. Now, also, I want to say this, folks. Those of you that heard my program last week, I talked about the Lugol's iodine. And if you did happen to get a hold of some, the Lugol's iodine is very, very potent. If it is 5% iodine, most likely all you need is just 1 to 2 drops in a glass of water. 1 to 2. Not dropperfuls, just tiny drops. If you bought the 2% Lugol's, then maybe you need 2 to 3 drops in a glass of water, or maybe even 4. So, folks, please do not put a whole dropper full of iodine in your water. I needed to say that because a few of you emailed me and asked what the proper dosage was. That's what it is. All right, folks? All right, now let's move along. Let's talk about the ramifications of this Fukushima problem that Japan has. Because of this crisis, the catastrophe, the destruction, etc., the area of northeastern Japan is going to possibly find itself uninhabitable. There's going to be a mass migration of the residents to be relocated to a safer zone. This is creating a great upheaval in Japan. Now, also because the Fukushima reactors are no longer producing electricity, which Japan needs to function as a first world industrial power, 6 reactors are out of commission now in Japan. Now, Japan had a total of 55 reactors on the island, 6 of them not working. So that's a certain percentage. What is that? 10% approximately of their power generation is no longer available. Because of that, Japan is now doing rolling blackouts and they're alternating power outages even in other sections of Japan that were not hit by the earthquake. This includes Tokyo. This includes the industrial area where a lot of companies are located in Japan. Now, because that's happening, and because some of the companies receive tsunami damage, and because some of the companies may be located in a radiation zone, because of all of these variables, many of Japan's companies and factories cannot function. Well, it turns out that Japan manufactures many of the world's computer chips. And these computer chips go into many different components. They go into cars, electronic items, etc. And because their factories are not all working, many of these chips that are needed throughout the world are no longer being manufactured. And what this is doing is causing a shortage of computer chips that are needed right now. So this is affecting a lot of different companies throughout the world right now. For example, Samsung Electronics, Ford Motor, Boeing, they're waiting for the suppliers of the chips to come through so that they can finish what they're building in their factories. And because they're not getting these computer chips, now they are having to be delayed or shut down their factories. It's having a domino effect throughout the world. So this scenario is going to play out to put a big dent into the economic quote-unquote recovery in many parts of the world. Boeing airplane makes commercial airplanes. We're all familiar with Boeing. They have a new Boeing 787 that they're working on right now. And Japanese companies supply 35% of the parts for this Boeing. And they're not able to supply them right now because they're down. Then we have Sanyo, Toshiba, Volvo, Honda. A lot of companies cannot receive their computer chips. And this is going to have a chain reaction throughout the world, folks. We're going to see a lot of companies hindered and unable to finish their projects. And this is going to happen to a lot of different companies, not just in America, but throughout the world. For example, Samsung is located in South Korea. Taiwan has a smartphone that they're working on. Volvo is located in Sweden. Honda has a factory in Mexico. Apple Computer cannot get the supplies for its iPad Part 2. So this is going to affect a lot of different things, folks. And on top of that, it's also going to affect the parts for cars. It goes on and on, folks. I was doing some research on this, and it turns out that the potential exists for many, many large companies to be severely and significantly impacted this summer. And this slowdown is expected to last 2 to 4 months. Now, right now we're in April, May, June, July, August. That takes us to the end of the summer. So potentially this could affect the sale of millions of cars throughout the world. And that's going to affect the auto companies. It's going to affect Toyota, Honda, Ford, GM. Toyota just released an announcement saying that they're going to have to halt production in some of their plants. Moody's Investor Service has warned that it may downgrade the credit rating of Toyota because of the financial repercussions of the car production that has come to a halt. So this is going to affect the actual health of companies. And Toyota is a very big company. They're the largest company in the world, but its credit rating might now be in jeopardy because of this. That's another nail in the coffin for the world economy, and that's also another reason that it looks like the future is going to be very, very challenging. And now, folks, this whole scenario plays into the economic quote-unquote doom of the Western world, because as we all know, the West is faced with some very, very tight challenges. Before this earthquake happened in Japan, how many of you remember just a few months ago that most of the stories we were talking about had to do with the war in Libya or the unrest in the Middle East? Well, you know, folks, that hasn't stopped. The war in Libya is still going. Gas is still climbing because of the war in Libya and because of the unrest in the Middle East. So those stories have not gone away. Now we have three theaters of war, and because of that, it's affecting the health of the dollar. And here we are in April. It's going to be two more months when QE2 expires. QE2, if you remember, is that grand scheme of the Federal Reserve to buy our own treasury notes, to purchase our own debt because the rest of the world did not want to. Well, there's only 2 months of that left. How many of you can remember that it was when that scheme was announced, was also around the same time that gold and silver started taking off? That was last November, I believe. So here we have the dollar going down. We have silver going to the stratosphere. Also, we have gold doing the same thing. So while that's happening, it's affecting many of the markets that we've talked about over the last several months. Food is becoming very expensive. In fact, the Labor Department just put out a report that says that food has risen the most in the last month. Its increase is the highest in 36 years, just in the last month, folks. Food prices soared overall about 4% last month, and produce rose about 50%. And of course, we saw that coming. We talked about it. We were ready for it. And here we are. You go to the store, and it's just crazy how much produce is now. I was down there a few days ago with my wife, and I couldn't believe for 5 tomatoes, they wanted $8. $8 for vine ripe tomatoes. And I said, no, I don't think so. But anyway, food has gone up incredibly, folks. So without those challenges that are happening in Japan, without the radiation that's now threatening us, we still have all of these other measures of the judgment train continuing to arrive here in the country. So folks, we can't go back to sleep. None of us can afford to take a snooze, to take a break, to go back to sleep. Food is going to keep climbing higher and higher. Are we even going to have food this coming fall in the harvest? What's the harvest going to be like? Is there going to be a drought? Are we going to get enough rain in the places that we need it? Texas is having fires right now. It's very dry. There are some areas of Oklahoma that are in some of the driest times that is only rivaled by the Dust Bowl during the First Great Depression. Folks, we are in that season of judgment. We are in the season of great challenge. We are in the season where none of us can afford to not be vigilant. You cannot afford to goof off and to take these things lightly. Continue in your efforts at spiritual health with God, at spiritual restoration with God, because it's not going to get any easier. For those of you that have been listening to my programs long enough, you remember a program I did over a year ago where the Holy Spirit revealed that Lamentations is coming to America, a super depression was coming, the dollar was going to crash. That's an article that's located at my website at watchmanscry.com. And back then, the Holy Spirit said, tell the people that if they want to know what America is going to look like, you can read the book of Lamentations. Well, there's a verse that I want to read to you right now. It's located in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 2. And I've shared this in the past, but I just want to share it again because I have a new story right here that I want to talk about. It says, our inheritance has been turned over to aliens and our houses to foreigners. And when it says aliens, it's talking about immigrants. Their inheritance, their homes, their houses has now been given to others. And over the last few years, we have seen the real estate meltdown where many millions of people have lost their homes in foreclosure through devaluation. And it's been a very painful event to witness and to experience. Some of you might have experienced that. I know it's not easy and I know it's not a good thing, but the Holy Spirit was very, very clear. America's in judgment. And if we look at the book of Lamentations and if the Holy Spirit was saying, Nathan, tell them that is going to happen in America. Well, right here it says basically that our houses will be purchased or taken over by immigrants, by non-citizens. And I have a story right here. It came out yesterday. It says that there's a real estate company, Wyndham Realty Group in Michigan, where an individual has opened an office in Shanghai, China, and he goes over there. He has an office there. He's a real estate agent over there, and he is selling houses of America to Chinese. So what he is doing is he gets together tour groups, and he fills a tour bus with Chinese people that are investors, and they come over here, and he takes them to open houses all across the country. He takes them to New York, to Manhattan, to Los Angeles, to Las Vegas, to Miami, and they're buying up the real estate because they have money now. And we don't. So this is happening right now. And that's just one story, one example of how foreigners are ending up with our houses. And they're buying them up. Now, why is that happening? Because America is in a fire sale right now. And the rest of the world is going to come here. And it's not just going to be the Chinese. It's going to be a lot of people in the rest of the world from India, from China, from Russia, from parts of Europe, parts of South America, from Canada. They're going to come here and take advantage of the fire sale that is going on right now here in America. America is for sale. It's a painful thing to say, my friends. I do not like it, but it's happening. And the middle class jobs of America are now gone. And the U.S. middle class is continuing to fall further and further down, losing their standard of living and getting close to the other poor nations in the rest of the world. Conclusion, America is losing her middle class. America is going to become a second and a third world country. That means middle class lifestyles will be gone. That means that the salaries that a lot of us experienced just 5 years ago, 10 years ago, are going to be a thing of the past. I don't like it, my friends, but this is the new America. The new America, the new coming economic abyss of the middle class. It's going to happen here, folks. Why? Because that is now the destiny of this nation. America's under judgment. My friend, I don't like what's going on. I don't like that the New World Order is taking over. I don't like that globalism has destroyed America and is now going to make it inept and castrated. I don't like that, but it's happening. And we're not finished with this journey. It's going to last a few years. And those that are going to endure are the ones that are going to get a hold of a new chapter with God in their lives. My friends, I want that to be you. I want to see you get stronger with God. Learn the scriptures, my friends. Get in touch with Him through prayer. Become more disciplined in your devotional life. You can endure, my friend. Hang in there, my friends. Well, it looks like we're running out of time. Folks, I encourage you to share this message with all of your friends, your loved ones, your pastors. Share it, my friends. Also, if you appreciate this ministry, we appreciate your support. Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. My friends, I'm praying for you. God loves you. Stay vigilant. Stay safe. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.